Turn in your Bible, please, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Now, not a lot of people are going to remember. Miss Belva will remember because she has it written down, I guarantee. But I have taught from this passage before. But it's very, very apropos, and I was able to shorten it very quickly because I knew that I was going to need to shorten this message on why we go on step trips. Why we go all over the U.S. to different places and go on step trips. So, Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 26, and we're going to read down to verse 29. It says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed in the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." So what I want to speak to you tonight on is why we go on step trips, and essentially the title of the message is The Five Laws of the Harvest. So I'm going to quickly give you five laws of the harvest. Now, God, our God that we serve, is a God of order, right? God has a built-in order to the physical world. He has a built-in order to the spiritual world. And this order we call law, and there are spiritual laws and there are physical laws you can't break. For example, if I go to the top of the church and I jump off, that's a law of gravity. I'm going to probably die. If nothing else, I will break my legs in many, many places if I try and jump off from the roof here. But those same laws apply to the saved man and to the lost man. So it doesn't matter if I'm saved or not saved. If I jump off the roof, I'm going to break something, whether I'm saved or not. These laws are written into nature. God has made these laws. So one of the great laws is the laws of the harvest. There is a law of sowing and reaping that's in nature and that's in the spiritual realm. And we need to learn some wonderful, wonderful truths today, the five laws of the harvest. Number one, the first law is the law of implementation. So that is, if you're going to have a harvest, first thing you need to do is plant the seed. There must be an implanting if there's going to be a reaping. Mark 4:26, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground." Now, there could be no harvest unless you put a seed into the ground. And that's what we do on step, right? That's what we do on our mission trip, is we're going out from here and placing a seed in the ground. We're planting seeds. That's what we're trying to do. Alternately, if the ministry has already been planting seeds, we as a ministry can come alongside and help plant the seeds or even assist them in reaping at some point. That's why when you go on step trips, sometimes we see kids get saved. Obviously, I mean, it could be. And praise the Lord for that a kid comes and the first time they've ever stepped foot in that church and they get saved and you know, we reap the benefits from that. But sometimes, you know, they might have been a bus kid and they've came a few times or whatever, and the seeds have already been planted previously. We just, in that setting, were able to reap the harvest. Now, this is how the Lord works. I mean, it doesn't just happen. It's not an accident. It's not something that happens just by happenstance. Take Heritage Baptist Church. Where did we get this building, the pews you're sitting in? We didn't get it by government grant, right? We didn't get a bunch of Habitat for Humanities people coming in here and building it for us. It didn't just drop from the sky like manna from the heavens. For most of us here, what we're doing is we are reaping what others before us have sown. That's what we're doing. And we're entering into, we just walk in here and we sit down, and a lot of times I think we take it for granted because we could still be meeting in Leonard Faith's basement, but we're not. So saying all that, do you know why we are so blessed today? Do you know why we're enjoying what you're enjoying today? Because somebody else planted the seed. Somebody else did it, and it was either you or somebody else, but there can't be any reaping unless there's some sowing. So there is implementation. Somebody must plant, and somebody needs to harvest. And so that's the very first of these laws, implementation. Number two is the law of identification. The law of identification. We reap the same as we plant. Now, if you sow discord, then you're never going to sow unity. if you sow to the flesh, then you're not going to reap to the spirit. So that's simply just a law of identification. So you see, it's everywhere. You see it in homes. We wonder sometimes why kids run around and act the way that they do at times. We reap in our children what we sow. So if I can take this just really quickly and apply it to the step trip, that's why I have step trip meetings, and that's why I talk to the teenagers before we leave about our testimony and what we need to wear and how we need to act, and just going back over with them. When someone talks to you, you look them in the eye and you say, yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. Because you never know, we don't know those individuals. And so you need to make the very best impression the very first time you meet them. Because this new shiny toy that you have coming in, this new group to take over your VBS program and do a bunch of stuff at your church throughout the week, don't think they're not going to be checking us out. Because they are checking us out, right? So you have to just to make sure that we're always on our P's and Q's the entire time. But that's not, it's not just negative, it's also positive. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. And do you know the way to get what you need? The way that you get what you need is to give, essentially, what you need. So we talk about that in this church a lot when we talk about tithing, for example. That's the easiest one that can come to somebody's mind. You know, the you're never going to be able to get right as far as money goes if you're not giving to the Lord what is His portion of what He's already given you, right? So just because you're not putting your check in the offering plate, that's not making you richer in any way, right? You're robbing God. He will get His somehow, right? Just know that. So why do we take our teens on step? Do we want revival? Do we want the Lord's work to be done here? Do we want individuals to serve from here, from Heritage Baptist Church? Then we need to be doing these things. If you want young people to go into the ministry, then they have to do ministry. If you want young people to be a missionary, then they have to know what it's like to go out, leave the compound for a minute, and go out there and serve. Right? If you want your child to grow up and to be able to serve in the local church, then let them serve in the local church. Right? But if we never do these things, if we never try to replicate these things, then we're never going to be able to sow those things. We're never going to reap those things if we're not sowing those things. So, number three is the law of incubation. You have to let it incubate in the ground for a while. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 27. And He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Night and day, day and night, day and night, night and day. He's going, he's checking, he's going to bed, he's waking up. He goes to bed, he wakes up, and then after a while there's a little green blade that pops out of the brown dirt, right? I mean, that's how it works. And you're all excited because, yeah, I'm going to have beans soon or whatever. Now that little seed has to sleep in the ground for a while. And the moisture comes and it impregnates the coat, and then the sun warms the ground, and the little seed after a while, it sheds its shell, and out of the ground there comes the little green blade. And now what is God saying here in this verse? God is saying you can't rush the harvest. Now, we could have, I will guarantee you with no doubt, that I could fast talk some kindergarten through sixth grade kids into making some sort of hoity-toity profession at our vacation Bible school, and then I could come before you and act like I'm the greatest youth pastor of all time and tell you that 30 kids got saved and that was so wonderful, but I would be rushing that if they weren't ready. I could do the same thing with the kids in the youth group. I could convince these kids in the youth group at some point or another to make some sort of profession in one way or another, and then I could go tell their parents, and I could tell my boss, and I could come and tell you about all the kids that have made all these decisions, but I would be lying to you. Because do kids make decisions at VBS? Yes. Have kids in the youth group made professions before? Absolutely. But if I don't allow them to happen in the Lord's time, and by their own free will, then that's not really any sort of profession. That's not any sort of decision. That's not a real salvation. Sometimes it's not immediate. Sometimes you plant the seed and it's got to sit for a while. I was not saved the first time I heard the gospel. People had shared the gospel with me before I came into this church. But then I came into this church and I was saved. So it happens to everyone differently, and everyone's timing is different because it's God's timing. But many times we try and fit God's timing into our timing. Now, some seeds do, though, spring up immediately. Other seeds take a long time to mature, but there is one law of the harvest. Not only do you reap what you sow, not only must you sow if you reap, but you always reap later than you sow. You can't rush the seed. Now, what is God saying? God is just saying, don't get antsy for the harvest. The harvest will come. Wait on it. You'll reap a whole lot later, but it pays to serve Jesus regardless. It does. So, number four. The fourth law I want to mention today is the law of intensification. The law of intensification. We're going to reap more than we sow. We're going to reap more than we sow. Mark chapter 4, verse 28 to 29. 4. The earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear, but when the fruit is brought forth, there's a harvest. That's what we're looking at here. We're looking at the picture of what, if I'm relating it to step, right? Only to step. But just know, we try and do this at Heritage Baptist Church with a lot of things, right? That should be our point. But if I'm talking about just what we have been talking about tonight, our summer teen evangelistic program, we are in a harvest. So when you put a seed in the ground, you get more than just a seed back, right? I mean, I don't know anybody who goes out and plants a seed and just gets a vine with seeds on it and says, yeah, this is awesome. Let me plant more of these, right? That would be stupid. Unless they were like sunflower seeds. I do like those. But that's not all that comes out, right? So you always get back more than you sow. Now, this is true spiritually. This is true physically. This is true negatively. And this is true positively, just like some of these other ones. For example, there's a very interesting passage of Scripture in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7. It says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." Now that's very interesting. Do you know what we're reaping right now in America? We're reaping the whirlwind, man. I mean, that's what we're doing. We are reaping the whirlwind. And people laughed and joked about drugs back in the 60s, and you see what's happening today. Right? We can't control it. We just can't control it. People laughed and joked about promiscuity, but now America's homes are on the rocks. Far more today, just broken homes than you've ever seen before. We had a so-called sexual revolution, and now we have incurable epidemics of the soul, of the mind, and medically. But the sad thing is you reap more than you sow. You always do. Now, that's true negatively, but again, it's also true positively, and I thank God for that. And you see, you can prosper. So let me tell you how you prosper. You don't have to turn with me here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. For the sake of time, I have it here. You don't have to turn here, but 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says, But this I say... He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, a lot of times we say that last little snippet, God loveth a cheerful giver. Look, I'm smiling as I put my thing in the offering plate, right? And I'm cheerfully giving. But we forget all the rest that comes along there. So, my question is, if you're thinking in your mind, is your purpose a little harvest? Then go ahead and keep giving a little. Is your purpose a big harvest? Well, then you're going to have to make some sacrifices and you're going to have to give a lot. I was talking to Pastor Habiger about this several times throughout the week. We were talking about his Wednesday service and whatever, and I was encouraging him to, even though you don't know how many people are going to come, just have it. Nobody ever comes to the service you don't have. Right? Now again, I'm just some assistant pastor from Roscoe whatever. So I'm just trying to, we were talking in fellowship, whatever. But if you want to reach your teens, then reach the teens. Here at Heritage, we've gotten that for a long time. Praise the Lord. And I hope that it continues. Because if it doesn't, I'm out of a job, number one. but I hope it continues. Because if we want to sow the leaders of this church and make them what they should be, the future leaders of this church, if we want to reap that someday, then we have to sow that now. Right? We have to sow that now. And I love what I see in our young people that have been graduating and that have been moving on. You know, as a youth pastor, you laugh with them, you cry with them, you see them when they're most vulnerable, you see them when they make mistakes, you see them in their successes. But again, and I don't know if every youth pastor is this way, but this is just how Nicole and I are, and this is how we're going to continue to be. They end up being like your own children. So just like your own children, they're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes, and they're going to do things that disappoint you, and they're going to do things that make you just want to, you know, hug them until they explode. But all in all, they are that person, and they're going to make mistakes. But you have to be able, you will sow, you will reap what you sow. So if I never show up, and if I come, I'm never prepared for class, and if I'm coming in jeans and a t-shirt every day, and I'm telling them like, yeah, who cares about standards, and who cares about this, and who cares about that, and if I'm talking about pastor and how he's a fuddy-duddy, and everybody go up there and mess up the hangers and flip all the light switches, or I don't know, that's just a joke. But if we do that, then you will continue to see garbage in, garbage out, right? I mean, you will continue to see individuals because, okay, so you have good homes here. I understand that. But if the individuals who are in positions of authority that they see in ministry, if they are not what they should be, then the teens are going to grow up thinking that church is not what it should be. That God even is not what he should be. So again, am I always the best at that? Absolutely not. Have I grown since whatever it was 10 years ago? I hope so. But you try to do your best both on one side and the other, and you reap what you sow. The law of the harvest is you put one seed in the ground and you get an ear of corn. Harvesting is wonderful. I don't know who first coined this proverb, but it's a beautiful thing. Somebody said, any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. And that's wonderful. I mean, there may be millions of apples in one seed. Just keep planting it. Now, the last principle, and I have to close, is that the principle of implementation. The principle of implementation. Now, you say, what does that mean? I don't understand what that means. Okay, look again at our text. And the Bible says that in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed into the ground. Now, unless you implement the plan, it's not going to work. I mean, you're going to have to get with it. You're going to have to implement what it is that you want to implement. Now, you see, you might sit around and say, this is interesting, and as soon as I have a harvest, I'm going to start planting. But then you're going to be thinking of it backwards, right? It would be kind of like Pastor saying, as soon as we have 300 people in membership at Heritage Baptist Church, then I'm going to go out calling and reach the community. Well, that's stupid, right? I mean, that's completely backwards, right? As soon as we get more people in here, then I'm going to start making sure that we at Heritage Baptist Church have a great testimony of the community. Then I'm really going to buckle down on that. Until then, whatever. I mean, it's just us. We know us. Right? I mean, that's not how it can be. That's not how it can be. And you see, you might sit around and say that, but God says if you want to harvest, you're going to have to plant by faith. And you may have to wait for the harvest, but the harvest is going to be yours. A very interesting verse of Scripture I want to give you. One more from Ecclesiastes before we wrap this message up. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4, and here's what it says. It says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now, do you know what that means? He that observeth the wind will not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds will not reap. What does that mean? Here's what it means. So here's a farmer, and he's got his seeds, and it's planting time. I feel like Pastor Anderson. I'm telling a farming story, right? This is not a personal farming story. I couldn't make it. So, and he looks up there and he says, you know, we may have a drought this year. We may not have enough rain this year. I just don't think I'm going to chance it. I'm going to take all my seeds. I'm going to put them in the barn or whatever they put them in, the grain silo thingy. I'm going to put them in there, and I'm just going to keep them there, save them. I want to play it safe. Now, if he does that, he's not going to have a harvest. You're never going to have a harvest that you don't plant. You see, there comes a time when you just have to trust God. You just have to. Whether it be for a service at your church, whether it be for a program, whether it be whatever it is. You say, well, look, my people, I'm going to start this and the people are never going to come. Well, then you do it, right? I mean, Nicole and I were talking about this because I told you this before. I've always felt as though at some point the Lord is going to call me to plant a church. I don't know when. It might be never. It could be when I'm 80. I don't know. But when he does, we were talking about this on the step trip at one point, and I was telling her, I was like, well, what if we don't have anyone coming for the Wednesday service? I was like, man, and Nicole's like, well, then you just preach to me. And I was like, okay, well, then I'm sure. Well, that's a whole different thing in itself. No one will ever laugh at my jokes if I preach to my wife, or they'll always laugh 5 minutes later. She'll keep me honest. I'll tell you that. But you know, if I did, I would just have to preach to my wife, right? I mean, that's just what I would have to do until someone else came, or my kids. Maybe I'd have a high attendance day. I'd bring all the kids in here. We'd have a combined service, and they'd all come in. You can't live in ministry, especially by what ifs. And if you do, then I feel sorry for you. You just try and see which way the wind blows rather than just launching out. I mean, you have to be smart about things, obviously. You pray about things, it's the Lord's will, but then you just do it. I mean, if you know it's the Lord's will, then you do it, right? I'm not saying we just go out here all willy-nilly and just do whatever we think we need to do in the moment, because some things that we think about doing in the moment are stupid. But we do the things that we know the Lord is leading us to do, and we just do it. I know sometimes it may be tough. We went on a step trip, Nicole and I's very first step trip we went to Harbor Springs, Michigan, with Pastor Wright and Myra. And Pastor Wright and Myra went with us. Unbeknownst to me, they were going to be there for a day and a half, and they were going to come back to Roscoe. So I had never done a VBS before, because I didn't do the VBS here beforehand. And I definitely never been on a step trip. So he said, it's really easy. All you have to do is teach the kids this lesson each day. And you have to do a service project at some point, and then you'll just bring them home. Here's my credit card so you can get gas. See you. And they left. I was petrified. The only thing that made me more petrified was that singing experiment that you saw today on that video. I could talk in front of 1,000 people. I was singing probably in front of 20 people, and I was petrified the entire time. But the first day we had one kid come to VBS, so I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna wow these people with my preaching ability to this 8-year-old or whatever he was, and he's gonna bring 50 friends tomorrow. So the next day he brought one friend, so we had two kids. The next day, zero kids showed up. So the pastor went out, found the kids in the woods, brought them back, although he did find four kids that day, the original kid, his original friend, and two other friends. They all came to VBS barefoot with a grappling hook and their pet hermit crab in a little thingy. So technically we had five. And then the last day, the same four kids came back again. Now that was four kids. Like, we could have just been like, hey, this is dumb. I mean, this isn't worth our time. Let's just go home. I mean, it's four kids, right? But we wouldn't have been stepping out of faith. The Lord wanted us to go there. We were there to do something. We were there to spread the gospel. And that one kid getting saved, which multiple kids got saved that week, if one kid gets saved, then it's all worth it. It's worth the whole trip, right? One soul is more precious than any amount of gas or food or anything else that we buy on the entire trip. So it's worth it. Right? It's worth it. But there just comes a time when you say, Lord, what is your will? What is your will? And just by faith, you go ahead and you plant. And if you want to harvest, you've got to put the seed in the ground. Now, I'm not just talking about giving. I'm talking about all of your life. It's not all going to be biscuits and gravy every day. Some seeds are going to fall by the wayside. It's going to happen, right? Every tract Pastor puts in the door on Saturdays with the people who come on Saturdays, every tract that gets put in the door doesn't get read and somebody falls to their knees immediately. Some blow away in the wind. Some get thrown in the trash. If we're just being honest about it. But does that mean that it's a waste of money? We shouldn't buy tracts? No. We should never stop doing that. Ever. When the teens go on Wednesdays and we go calling, does that mean that we should stop doing that? No. Because you can never reap what you don't sow. We just need to plant the seed. There's going to be a harvest. Psalm 126:6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You've got to put a seed in the ground. There is no harvest without a seed. There is a law of identification. You're going to reap what you sow. There's a law of incubation. You're going to reap later than you sow. There's a law of intensification. You're going to reap more than you sow. And there's a law of implementation. You must implement the plan. You have to get at it if you're going to reap. You have to. Now, for us at Heritage Baptist Church, for many of us, we get this. We get it. But many places right now are struggling. And that's why we do STEP. Right? That is why we do STEP. There are churches out there that are struggling. And look, we need to take care of our own finances. We need to take care of our own pastor. We need to take care of his family. We need to take care of our own building, our own grass, our own plants, our own whatever. Right? Bill needs to pay all the bills for our church before we start sending money to other churches to pay their bills. Right? I mean, that's just how we have to do it. However, we can't 100% just be insulary. Right? The Heralds can't just worry about the Heralds and Heritage. That's why we send missionaries out. That's why we have evangelists in. Because we can't just care about this building. That's not the Lord's plan. He that considereth the wind shall not sow. You say, well, I don't know whether this man wants to be saved or not, this friend of mine, this co-worker, this whatever. Well, go ahead and plant it anyway. Plant the seed anyway. Go ahead and plant. Just scatter the seed. Some of it's going to fall on stony ground. Some of it's going to fall by the wayside. Some of it's going to fall among thorns. And some of it, though, is going to fall on good ground. Right? I am so glad that individuals didn't give up on me. Because I rejected people many, many times. I was stony ground many times. Until one day I wasn't. You're stony ground until you're not. And one day, sitting right there, I was good ground. And boom! What if somebody would have given up on me before then? Where would I be? Where would my family be? There's going to be a harvest. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. You must get at it if you're going to reap. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this time that we've had to look into your word. Lord, we thank you for the step trip. We thank you for the parents who allowed their children to go. We thank you for the individuals who stayed back and were praying for us while we were gone. We thank you for the fruit of the trip. Lord, we thank you for the seed that we were able to plant, although we didn't see, we weren't able to reap while we were there in immediacy. Lord, we know that your word will not return void, Lord, and we hang on to your promises and know that it's our job to plant the seed, not always to reap. And Lord, we thank you so much for everything that you continue to do in this church, and Lord, specifically in the youth group as well. And Lord, continue to help these young people to grow, to become the adults that you want them to be the leaders that we need them to be, Lord, for you today going forward. Lord, we thank you so much again for everything that you've done for us and you will continue to do. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.